Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radio Lab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radio Lab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. Yesterday, we got an outpouring of callers who were shaken by President Trump's executive order barring immigration or even visits from seven Muslim countries and needed advice from an immigration lawyer who we had as a guest. And there were so many more of you on the phones that we could take that we decided to just continue it today with a part two. Joining me now is attorney Camille Mackler, director of legal initiatives at the New York Immigration Coalition. She was at the center of the chaos that unfolded at JFK Airport Saturday night, and she's here to answer more of your questions. If you're worried about how the order might affect you or anyone you know, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, and we'll also hear Camille Mackler's story of Saturday night at JFK. Camille, welcome to WNYC. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Can you tell us a little bit of your JFK Saturday night story? How did you get the word about what happened? How did you decide to go to JFK in person?
So my story is actually probably a little different because I was at JFK on Saturday morning. I woke up and read the New York Times and saw I actually went to bed thinking that it was going to take a couple of months to implement these orders, which is how things normally happen. And so I was very surprised when I woke up Saturday morning to the New York Times article that two had been detained and a habeas case had been filed. And so decided to go. I had to be in the neighborhood anyways and decided to go over and check out what was going on for myself and got a couple of friends and we drove out there and ended up spending the whole day there sort of running from terminal to terminal, seeing what was happening, trying to offer support to the lawyers from the Immigrant Refugee Assistance Project that was there, and also just watching the protest build, which was just absolutely incredible. And then I stayed there till about Saturday night, and I was just seeing more and more lawyers coming out. I coordinate nonprofit immigration lawyers in New York, so I had an emergency, a rapid response group set up on WhatsApp, and we just were getting more and more messages saying, what can we do? We're heading over. What's needed at JFK? So just watching these groups grow, watching them meet with the families, because at that point, we were still seeing people who are there to meet families who are in the air when the executive order went into effect. And then went home for a few hours, came back on Sunday to see if I could pitch in. And by then they had set up an entire war room in Terminal 4 at the diner, who's been the central diner at Terminal 4 at JFK. Everyone should patronize from now on because they've been extraordinarily supportive of this effort.
What's the name of the diner?
Central Diner in the arrivals at Terminal 4. They've just been so amazing and patient, and people have been ordering food from us there and having it delivered, which is amazing. And we just basically have this real war room happening, which is insane. I went back about Sunday, and those who had been coordinating at that point were exhausted, needed to go home, and asked me if I could help take over. So I did. And little by little, we've been trying to get some organization into it. You know, been building media inquiries. We've been trying to track numbers. We are not in contact with the government, at least not in any sort of official capacity. Some lawyers have contacts that they're able to reach out to, but everyone is being referred to DC. And in fact, we're being referred to the media inquiries line, which is not how that's ever been handled before. So, you know, we're just trying to figure out what's going on and meeting with the families and the friends, not just those who are at the airport to pick people up, but also those who are on the flights with individuals. We're trying to get information from those on the flights, but also if they were separated from travelers, because a lot of people actually fly into JFK but then transit to other places. So we know that we don't have a very full understanding of what's happening. We're just trying to get whatever information we can.
And again, listeners, if you need any legal advice right now for you or anybody you know regarding traveling to the United States in ways that may be affected by the temporary travel ban, Camille Mackler from the New York Immigration Coalition is here for that. She's the director of legal initiatives there. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. It's such a dramatic story. such a dramatic American story, what happened over the weekend at JFK and other airports. I think I heard you say a minute ago that the war room is still there. Is this an ongoing situation? Because we had New York State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman on the show last hour, and he said all the people who were detained at JFK in the original confusion over the weekend have now been released. Is that your understanding? And are you expecting, as you know, as the dust settles a little bit and it becomes clear to people around the world what this order is, are you expecting any more confusion and any more people to arrive in limbo who will need legal services?
Yes. So people are being released because they're being processed out, but then we have more flights coming in. We were expecting that. We were expecting that, you know, what, because they're actually preventing people from boarding flights abroad if they would be subject to the executive order. So we were kind of expecting things to taper off because we thought people weren't going to be making it on flights. But it does seem that there are some people making it onto flights still. We had a lull yesterday morning, and then it got a little crazy again in the afternoon, then another lull this morning. So we're kind of waiting to see what's going to happen in the afternoon, if we need to stay at JFK, or maybe we can transition off, you know, somewhere that's close but not overtaking the terminal, Terminal 4, the way we have. So we're sort of assessing that. It's really an hour-by-hour assessment of what's happening, and especially, you know, especially because we don't know if they're still allowing people to board or not.
Let's take a phone call. Here's Fadi in Manhattan. Fadi, thank you for calling. You're on WNYC. Fadi, are you there? Can you hear me? All right. I think Fadi's listening on delay. So, Fadi, when you hear yourself coming back 7 seconds later on your radio, turn your radio down and just listen to the phone, and we'll get you on the air in a couple of minutes. Let's try Tara. Tara in Washington Heights. Tara, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, I'm calling. It's sort of an odd connection, but I was in a car service with a nice, very nice driver who was getting a lot of calls and kept apologizing, and I said, it seems like there's some kind of emergency. You can take that. And he took the call, and then by way of apology, explained that his brother was stuck in an embassy in Djibouti. Their family's Yemeni, and I guess they took a boat from Yemen to the African embassy, and they're with their three children, and they're trying to figure out, they got an visa issued maybe 4 days ago, just before the executive order was signed. So I have a bunch of questions on their behalf. One is, I guess the injunctions for different airports are different, and they're saying that maybe it's better to fly into Logan than JFK. That's one question. And another question is, we were also told that the law will only cover them if they have a direct flight, and there are no direct flights from Djibouti that I could see.
Those are two great questions. I'm glad you brought up the Logan question because, Camille, we heard over the last few days that the judge's order in Boston affecting people coming in through Logan Airport is broader than the judge's decision affecting JFK. So here in New York, people can't be deported temporarily under the travel ban, but they can be detained. And in the Boston case, the judge ordered that they can't even be detained. They have to be released into the city. So is that your understanding of an actual difference going forward? And should people in the situation of the folks Tara was describing be advised to fly into Boston rather than New York?
Yeah, so that is – the difference is right. I'm actually not 100% sure for the Massachusetts order, but the Eastern District of New York order is national. But in the jurisdictions that have had courts that have issued orders, such as Massachusetts and Virginia, those orders would obviously supersede the New York one. But I want to just a clarification for what we're saying when we're saying detained. In the normal immigration context, detained means being taken into custody by ICE. Whereas we've been using it as being detained and held at the border for many hours. Now, everybody who's coming in to JFK Right now, my understanding of how things are working, again, I don't have official communication with the government, but my understanding is that they're processing everyone and going back to headquarters to get decisions, but that people are ultimately making it out. I don't know what the process is at Logan right now. But if somebody comes to JFK, the CBP at JFK is complying with the order, is just taking a while for families to get through.
And to her other question, Tara, you want to repeat that real quick?
Yeah. So one of the lawyers who's working at Logan said that she was informed by a judge by email that they thought that it was only direct flights that were covered that would, I guess, allow for the injunction only covers people coming in on direct flights.
In other words, if somebody flew Yemen to London to New York, there wouldn't be a problem? Like that? I doubt that that's true, but do you know, Camille?
No, I mean, we have most, like you said, there are very few direct flights. Most people we've had coming are coming from European countries or some Asian countries. There are some flights from the Middle East. We just had one from Qatar this morning, but at least in New York, it's not applying just to direct flights. It's applying to anybody from these seven countries or any refugees.
Tara, thank you very much. Nice of you to act on behalf of a cab driver who you are in their car, and hopefully they're listening. Abdul in New Hyde Park, you're on WNYC. Hello, Abdul.
Yes, hi, Brian. Thank you for taking my phone call.
Sure.
I have three or four questions, but before that, I just want to mention one thing, that we are the one who brought the food on Saturdays and Sundays to the demonstrators and our centers. We're in New Hyde Park. Our centers provided the food, both pizza. And if you look at the picture, in Aurora's picture, that was me who brought the food and distributing.
Huh.
Anyway, that's on the sideline. I just wanted to find out, because we have our centers have a lot of people coming from either from Bangladesh, Pakistan, and many other countries, not of particularly of those seven countries. They're asking us questions. First of all, is there a helpline where they can call and ask questions? This is the number one question. Number two is those who are on student visas and those who are on, you know, work authorization visa, some of them wanted to go to do perform Umrah. You know, they go to Saudi Arabia to do small Hajj. Now they're afraid, should they go out of leave the country, are they in any kind of risk or in jeopardizing their visa status, even one of the green card? That's the second question. The third one is the form I-407. I'm also on the Muslim Leadership Council email. We're getting a lot of emails about that form, that they've been asked to sign that form, which is a voluntary, you know, abandonment of your status. And I think that's pretty much it. If you can take any way you want, any one of them to answer, if you would, please.
Thank you,
okay,
Abdul.
And
that's great about the pizza.
Yes.
Did it have anchovies?
Yes.
Yes?
Yeah.
Nobody likes anchovies except me. Anyway, Camille, go ahead.
Well, I was there when the pizza was delivered, and it was much appreciated. So thank you for that. I'm going to try to remember all of your questions. People who are here from – individuals who are here from these seven countries currently – we are advising not to travel. Again, the orders are allowing individuals to return to the United States after extensive vetting. And to that point, one thing I didn't say earlier is I believe the Massachusetts order is only good for 1 week, as was the Virginia one, whereas the New York one is in effect until February 21st. So something else to keep in mind. But it seems like if you're coming through the airports where these orders are in place, you'll be able to get back in. But what we're hearing increasingly and what we're really trying to track down is that people are not able to board at their destination. And they're not. Some of them, if there are direct flights, aren't getting on planes in their home countries. But others, you know, are stuck in Lebanon or in Geneva or in Amsterdam. Regarding the form I-407, that's a form to give up your green card status, your legal permanent resident status. We've heard a lot of rumors about that happening. I think they were more substantiated out in Los Angeles. In New York, we weren't able to find any actual person that had happened to. So in New York, we're still treating it as a rumor that's happening, but we haven't heard any confirmation. We have heard of people having their visas canceled abroad and of people at the airport being offered the option to withdraw their request for admission to the United States instead of actually being ordered deported when they get turned away at the border.
Abdul, thank you very much and keep calling us. Now I think we have Fadi in Manhattan back, who wasn't on the line before. Fadi, hi.
How are you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
This is against our constitution because this country built on immigration and immigrant people. And also, this implement was under Obama administration. I believe I have some family. They have a green card, and they cannot come now, and they're afraid. And also, cause all this problem, regime change. And Saudi Arabia, the main terrorist country in the world. They are the one fighting in Syria to overthrow the government of Syria on behalf of United States and Israel and the West. And we have also all the jihadis from all over the world.
I want, Fadi, with respect, I want to stay off the politics on this segment, which is for personal advice for people and people they know from, you know, the countries affected by the travel ban. But did you say that you have family in Syria with green cards, and they think they cannot come now?
They're afraid now because they see everybody like against Muslim, and this is not all against Muslim because the 9/11 hijackers, 13 hijackers from Saudi Arabia, Egypt. Why they banded on Syrian and not in Saudi Arabia? Because of the oil?
Are you saying, I just want to get clear, because even if people can come, doesn't mean they're always going to choose to come under the current circumstances. Are you saying that you have family in Syria that has green cards and understands that they could still travel to the United States, but because they're finding the climate here now more hostile, they're choosing not to?
Yes, they're choosing not to because they say, why I'm going to go over there? I'm not welcoming anymore. So with the green card or with the visa. So
Fadi, thank you for your call. I really appreciate it. Not to get sidetracked too much with the politics and the right and wrong of the policy, but with respect to what Fadi and a lot of people are raising, that the countries on the list are not actually the countries that have produced a lot of terrorists, whereas if you want to look at 9/11, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, Egypt, is that going to the administration may be goaded into adding countries to the list, which is, I'm sure, something you wouldn't want at the New York Immigration Coalition. But do you have any thought about that?
Yeah, I mean, we're worried about the mindset that leads to these kinds of decisions in the first place, right? The philosophy behind it, for lack of a better word. And we are worried about it being expanded. I mean, I think that those are very valid points that have been made. And by way of answer, I can share a story I had yesterday. I was there and a man came up to me because he was on the phone with his soon-to-be sister-in-law who was stuck in Iraq. She had an approved fiancé visa, which would have allowed her to enter had she made it to JFK, you know, after the processing. It should have been able to come in, but she was stuck there. They weren't letting her board. And he looked at me, and he was Iraqi originally, but he was now a U.S. citizen, and he's a vet. He'd served in the military in Iraq, for the U.S. Army or U.S. military. And he looked at me, and he said, you know, all those people that we worked so hard to get to trust and work with the United States, they're all just going to turn back now. And it just sort of hit me in that moment of the damage that this is going to do, you know, not just at home with these communities that I've been working with here in New York, but just the larger picture.
And so the story that Fadi told of his relatives who have green cards but are choosing not to come because of the climate here right now is case in point.
Exactly.
So we're out of time for this segment. Again, we could go on for hours. We could just set up ourselves as, if we wanted to do it, sort of, you know, immigration advice station for people with anybody they know from countries that are affected by the temporary travel ban. But since we can't do that, you want to just tell people how they can get in touch with your group if your group is offering help. And I want to also alert people that we tweeted out yesterday. We'll retweet it in a little while, as soon as we can get those numbers again, phone numbers from the CUNY Citizenship Now program that is offering individual advice, CUNY Citizenship Now, if you want to just Google that. Also, Governor Cuomo has set up a New York State hotline for people needing individual travel advice or legal advice with respect to yourself or anyone you know traveling from those seven affected countries. And as far as the New York Immigration Coalition, how can people best use your services? Or are you more on the kind of broad, broad political and social spectrum?
So we do have a hotline that we set up as part of the No Ban JFK effort, which we've been spearheading on the ground. And that number is 1-844-326-4940. That's 1-844-326-4940. And that's for family members who have people who've been stranded or affected by this ban can call that. We're trying to connect them to legal help. And I think that's the number we're going to use forward. We're developing back-end systems to make that as robust as possible. We've reached out to the governor's office to see if we can work with them and their hotline. And so that's the main number I think that people should be directed to on our end.
Camille Mackler, Director of Legal Initiatives at the New York Immigration Coalition, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you very much for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Father James Martin next. Stay with us.